I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and let Him be the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I have a website, authorityresearch.com. Today I want to talk about climate change, the lie of climate change. It's not real science. The whole effort has been to do a paradigm shift, just like evolution. When God created man, He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He did something with man He did with nothing else in the creation. And man became a living soul. And then God did something with man that He did with nothing else in the creation. He told him right from wrong behavior. Everything else is stimulus response, approach pleasure, avoid pain. There's always, whether it's rocks, everything of nature, everything is stimulus response, except for man. We can reason from the Word of God. Now, we can reason from our flesh, and that stimulus response. And that's what I've talked about, is dialogue. Dialogue is I feel and I think. It's stimulus response. But discussion is there's an external authority giving you direction. An external authority that has the final say in a discussion. And so true science is based upon God. Because all of science is established. All the laws of nature are established. They don't change. Gravity doesn't change. Now, we discover them. And we use a scientific method. We test things. We guess. We speculate. We experiment. But once we find the truth, once we find those facts, they don't change. The laws of nature do not change. And so what God created in the physical world, He has that same nature for us from His Word. He doesn't change His Word. And so when He spoke to Adam, what He did with nothing else in the creation, He told him what trees he could eat the fruit of and what tree he could not. The world, now that, and if you have any question, it's a discussion. God has a final say. But if you go to dialogue, there's no God in dialogue. You're God. And as I've explained, when you go, you look at Genesis 3, 1 through 6, the master facilitator of change, the master social psychologist, psychotherapist, got the woman into dialogue. How do you feel? Feel like touching it? What do you think? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And temporally, carnally, she was right. It was good for food, just like all the other trees. It was pleasing to the eyes, just like all the other trees. But what was unique about it is she could think for herself. She could use that reasoning ability that God gave Adam and Eve, not to reason from God's word, but to reason from their flesh. And so as to make one wise. She did lust of the flesh, it's good for food, lust of the eyes, pleasing to the eyes, and desires to make one wise. That's a pride of life. Look at me. I can decide for myself what is right and what is wrong. I don't need God. And yet the scriptures tell us it is not in man to direct his steps. So evolution, you can't evolve our ability to reason. There's nothing in it. Now, they will do everything possible to try to cross that barrier, just like there is. Everything's in its own kind. Nothing evolves outside of its kind. It's all trickery. It's all lies. The Bible says, lie not one to another. You've put off the old man with his deeds. And what is that deed, that praxis? Is we don't need God. We can decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. The whole issue of evolution, the only purpose for evolution is to get rid of the issue of sin. No other purpose. Because if you can reject Genesis, if you can reject what God said, if Adam can reject what God said to him, If the woman can reject what God said to him, and that's the only role of the facilitator of change, it was to talk her out of what God said so she could decide for herself, so she could sin without being guilty in herself. The only reason for evolution is so man can lust the flesh, lust the eyes, and pride of life without God. No other reason. No other reason is to get rid of the issue of judgment, condemnation, and being cast into the lake of fire that's prepared for the master facilitator of change and all who follow after him that is never quenched. So man rejecting God, rejecting what God has told him, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Why do you hide the word of God in your heart? Because your heart, in its own carnal nature, the heart is deceitful above all things because it thinks pleasure. Isn't that true? Isn't pleasure the standard of life? Not doing God's will? Our heart in its carnal state does not seek to do God's will. It seeks after pleasure. It's stimulus response. Approach pleasure. Avoid pain. And it's desperately wicked. It's not wicked. It's desperately wicked because when it senses somebody's going to come in and take that pleasure away, it will turn and rend. And see, I've shared in the past where Mark said, not feeling at home in a sinful world, critical criticism sets up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord. Spontaneous. Intolerant of any voice, external voice. It refuses to listen to God. And that's our dialogue. Pure dialogue in itself, there is no God. You are God. It's I feel and I think. That's all the master facilitator of change did with the woman in the garden, got her into dialogue in regards to an issue that God said, do not do it. He spoke the command. She justified her lust. Using the same reasoning ability that God gave her and Adam against God. That's what Paul says, not knowing the righteousness of God. They seek to create their own righteousness, not fulfilling the righteousness of God. God said, just like Adam and Eve, could not do what was right before God without his word. So the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus said three times, Dad says, it is written, it is written, it is written. What Adam was supposed to do in the garden, what the woman was supposed to do in the garden, instead she leaned to her own understanding. She went to dialogue. She went to I feel and I think. And that's the role of the enemy. Anytime you're in a Bible study and somebody asks you how you feel and what you think, that's what the master facilitator of change was all about. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think about the Word of God, it is. Now, you'd have faith in it, but you're not to pick it up and evaluate it. That's what the woman was doing in the garden. It's God's Word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. How does this fit with climate change? Well, it's the same thing as evolution. Because if you go to evolution, there is no God. Well, maybe God was involved in it. That's a lie. Thomas Kuhn, who worked under Ralph Tyler was an advisor to six of our U.S. presidents on education. All teachers are trained in Bloom's taxonomies. The first one was dedicated to Ralph Tyler. Ralph Tyler was a Marxist. His whole ideology was Marxist, was getting rid of God. Man is sufficient in himself. The whole idea of the Enlightenment is man didn't need God, didn't need his word, didn't need the church's message. His reasoning was capable in itself. This was a scientific, see, they use the scientific method now in morals and ethics. And if you do that, all we have is stimulus response. We're just like the animals. That's all of psychology. I wrote an issue, The Curse of Psychology. Read Norman Brown's Life Against Death. And he says, we must go back into the garden and sin again. That's the sum total of psychology. Irvin Yalom said, psychology has two things, patricide and incest. Kill the father and practice lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And he just cut to the chase, incest. Because Freud's story is not the prodigal son who comes to his senses and comes home and humbles himself before the father and finds out that the father's love for him is what this is all about. It's not the father's money. No, Freud's story is the father drives the sons out because they're practicing incest with themselves. Look at our culture. This is the core of psychology. Now, I've shared the quotes from Freud and those who have followed him in meetings. Abraham Maslow, who says, the first thing I do with authoritarians, that would be Jesus who followed the Father and demanded, he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. That comes across that way. He says, the first thing I do with authoritarians is break their backs immediately. I treat them like the bastards they are, and you won't go to college without having to study and apply Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs. And you might say, well, those are all true. Maybe not. Some of them aren't. But the father's excluded. Bloom's taxonomy, there's no father. You don't start with what the father says. You start with the master facilitator of change says, how do you feel? What do you think? And so Thomas Kuhn worked under Ralph Tyler, Bloom's taxonomy's first one, cognitive domain, was dedicated to Ralph Tyler. A whole Marxist concept, not feeling home in a sinful world. I'm a wicked man. Everybody's wicked, so why would somebody else fire me because of my deviant behavior when they're just as deviant? See, he rejected God. He rejected salvation. There was no need of God. There's no need of the Father. There's no need for salvation. We're all the same. And so he hated the capitalist where you have to humble and deny and die to yourself. That whole structure he hated. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It hates humbling itself before God. Your carnal heart. And who can know it? You can't even see it. You can't see your hate because your lust for pleasure is standing in the way. It blinds you. That's what happened. God said they have eyes and cannot see and ears and cannot hear because their lust for pleasure. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Entitled generation. Look at us today. And so Thomas Kuhn worked on the pre and post paradigm. The patriarch moving through the matriarch feelings over to the heresy arc where there's no father. There's no accountability to God. There's no thought of God. If you go to peer dialogue, you go to counseling, you go to peer dialogue, there is no God. You're God. You're the agent of right and wrong. You're the one who's establishing right and wrong behavior according to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And I've shared this. I've had quote-unquote Christian psychologists get up and leave the meeting when I said, it's impossible to be a psychiatrist and be a Christian. It's impossible. Because one rejects the Father, the other demands obedience to the Father. You can't study psychology without putting Christ on the cross. You got to get him out of the room. You got to suspend him. You take a counseling session. Irvin Yalom said the hardest person he had to deal with, there was those who use the Christian faith in counseling. They're the hardest people to deal with in counseling because they insist on right and wrong and not the dialogue. It's a discussion because God has a final say. It's impossible to be a Christian psychologist. Impossible. You're a liar. You lied to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. And you're doing exactly what the master social psychologist did with two people in the garden. And so the whole issue of evolution was wrapped around the rejection of God. And climate change is wrapped around the rejection of God. Thomas Kuhn, in his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolution, he writes, and this is a preface to it. Thomas Kuhn spent the years 1958 and 59, at the Center for Advanced Studies in the Behavioral Sciences, directed by Ralph Tyler, where he finalized his paradigm shift concept of pre- and post-paradigm periods. Kuhn admitted problems with the schemata of his socio-psychological theory, yet continued to urge its application into the scientific fields of astronomy, physics, chemistry, and biology. It didn't work. It does not work. But see, the paradigm went from discussion, which is facts, commands, rules, facts, and truth. True science is wrapped around discussion. Truth builds on truth. But, and he writes, if a paradigm, this heresiarch paradigm of change, heard about change? Climate change. Marx has quoted Marx's Feuerbach thesis number 11 is on his tomb. The philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. In other words, the parents out there all have different interpretations of the world, and their children come up with those standards, and they don't get along with the other children who have their parents' standards. He said, the objective, however, is change. What is change? Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, stimulus response. Somebody comes in the room, makes you happy, makes you good. They're good. Somebody comes in and you hate them because they're telling you right from wrong. They're negative. You get rid of them. Stimulus response. Approach pleasure. Get rid of pain, including the pain of somebody who's getting in the way of her pleasure. That's a heresiarchal paradigm. And so he was all about changing paradigm. If a paradigm, this heresiarchal paradigm of change, climate change, evolution, is ever to triumph, it must first gain some first supporters. That's the group to get, that's all psychology is, getting them together and getting, well, how do you feel? What do you think? Bloom's taxonomies. How do you feel? What do you think? Group grade. And teach them that language. How do you feel? What do you think? And they call it a scientific language, and it's not. It's a so-called science. Pseudonomous gnosis. So-called antithesis. It's just tossing ideas back and forth, and that is it. You never land. It's perpetual change. So if his paradigm is ever to triumph, it must gain some first supporters, men who will develop it to the point where hard-headed arguments can be produced and manipulated, which eventually is an increased shift in the distribution of professional allegiance, whereas the man who continues to resist after his whole profession has been converted is ipso facto ceased to be a scientist. As I've shared in the past, you get a room full of dialogue, I feel and I think, and you call that science? Anybody who comes in with real science, which is a discussion, the facts are. The facts are. Anytime you confront somebody as an opinion, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and you say, well, what you're doing is wrong. No, it's your opinion. No, what you're doing is wrong. It's your opinion. You become argumentative. You're always perceived as the argumentative one. You will never win as a true scientist in this so-called scientific culture. And he points out in his book, Max Planck, he does his dictum. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents. See, that's discussion. See, there's an external authority you're ultimately accountable to, and you're trying to persuade other people that this is true. But he says, no, this new scientific method is not convincing others and making them see the light, but rather it's because its opponents, others, a true scientist, eventually die. And a next new generation grows up with that is familiar with it, the new paradigm, I feel and I think. So you're in the classroom going, I feel and I think. You're in a Bible study going, I feel and I think, rather than it is written. They've tried this in labs, chemistry lab. Let the kids invent for themselves. You're going to end up with some dead kids. You better learn the facts. This is where this is all coming from and where it's all going. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure. Old school is you learn to put your feelings aside and sit, humble, deny, die to yourself, control yourself, discipline yourself, capitulate yourself, put your lust aside, and attend to the facts. Basically, detox yourself of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life to do what is right and not wrong according to the Father's standards. That's true in old school. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You can't talk to these people. They can't sit there long enough because they're just jumping all over the place. It's stimulus response. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. That's counselors. That's psychiatrists. A psychiatry is built on lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Having itching ears. In other words, something new. See, something new, something new, something new. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Climate change is a fable. Evolution is a fable. Look at our culture today. The immorality, iniquity, because the conscience comes from the Father's authority. The guilty conscience is a result of the Father's authority. The fear of judgment, condemnation, and being cast out. The being taught right from wrong. The preaching of commands and rules and teaching of facts and truth. And if there's any discussion, the Father has a final say. It is written, it is written, it is written. But we now have a culture of rebellion because we sat in school. Bloom's taxonomy is all about the affective domain, the feelings of the children. And he calls it Pandora's box. It's in the book. Every teacher in this nation and around the world is grounded in Bloom's taxonomy. Bloom points to two Marxists as his Weltanschauung, his worldview. It's in the book. Our worldview is Marxism, and yet you go down to your public school, and Bloom's taxonomy is the foundation for curriculum since the 50s. I earned my teacher's degree on Bloom's taxonomy, and I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. It wasn't until years later, after years of studying philosophy and psychology, and spending 5 years reading over 600 social psychology books, and the Lord giving me understanding that this whole process is Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That I went through Bloom's taxonomy as the foundation for all the books that I read. That there it is in the book. Our Weltanschauung is Marxism. Not regular Marxism, but the merging of psychology and sociology. The group. And how do you feel? What do you think? And dialogue. Don't attack God. Just change the way they communicate with one another and God won't fit. God doesn't exist. They just live in for the moment, the eternal present. And anyone who comes in the room to share the truth, they'll turn the ears away. And they'll lust after the fables and the stories that justify their lusts. It's where we are as a nation. There's those who want to restore the nation. Bring it back to what it was. It'll never go back to the way it was because nobody's bowing before the Word of God. All of the so-called conservative organizations out there are going after organizations. They're going after all these people. God looks at the heart of the people to determine what to do with a nation. I don't hear a message of humbling yourself before God and crying out to Him and seeking His face. That was a message in early America. Even some of the Supreme Court decisions back in the 40s were laden with the Word of God. Not today. Not today. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Not today. And He will be the one who directs your path. But it starts with trusting in the Lord with all your heart. and not lean to your own understanding, because that's what happened in the garden. You send your child, and I've covered, you send your child into that classroom, and they're doing the group grade, dialogue, diverse group of students. You have to have the deviant. And I've read the books on it in college. You have to have, you know, every student writes out their little story about their life. And so the counselors look at them and they go, okay, we have the right constellation of students. So we can have one traditional, two or three transitional. They're just drifting around. And then one who's trained in the process. And they'll work on a group grade. Bloom, in Bloom's taxonomy, he actually lays out the steps of brainwashing. Not Hunter's book on brainwashing. He never explains it. But I have in my website, by Bennis and others, a clear definition of brainwashing, the technical procedure. And you can line it up to what Bloom writes in his taxonomy that your local teacher is trained in. The steps of brainwashing are the same. And what is it? It's washing the father's authority from the children's brain. That's all it is. That's all that happened in the garden. I can decide for myself what is right and wrong. And look at the immorality. You have to have a police state. If you do this, you have to have a police state, because there's no guilty conscience in the culture anymore. There's no fear of God in the culture anymore. Climate change is not a fear of God. It's just fear. And you follow, like lemons, those who pipe the piper. The piper that pipes. It's everywhere you turn. Everybody's talking about it. And the true scientists are silenced. God says he'll turn us over to our own demise. And we as a nation have been turned over to our own demise. God looks at your heart. God's looking at your heart to determine what to do with the nation. Is it worth saving? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you in all your ways acknowledging him, or picking and choosing for the approval of men? And I've written this. I said, if you're concerned about your children's social life, if you're concerned about your social life, and you're not concerned about where you're going to spend eternity, because if you're concerned about where you're going to spend eternity, you're not concerned about your social life. Paul says, if I was out to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's not that you want people to get upset with you. It's the truth. You share the truth that people would repent. They put Jesus on the cross because they didn't want to repent. They didn't want to submit to his Father. That's why he called him, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. Every facilitator of change is structured on the master facilitator of change in the garden. They're structured on their father, a liar. They can call himself a minister all day long, but they're not preaching and teaching from the Word of God. They're turning to men's opinions. I went to seminary to study the Word of God, and all there was, most of it was just men's opinions. I didn't finish because of it. I walked out like one of the classes, we were studying Groff Wellhausen, JDPE hypothesis. Halfway through the class, I went to class. It was bothering me. I said, why have we? I asked the professor, can I share? And he said, sure. I stood up. 30 ministers in this class. I said, why have we spent 7 weeks worshiping men like Wellhausen, whose dying words were, I have lost my faith? I thought I would hear an amen. You could hear a pin drop. And that college seminary, I would never send a soul there. You want to send your child straight to the gates of hell? It's all I feel and I think. It's all dialogue. No, it's discussion. God has a final say. It doesn't matter how you feel. You open up the Word of God. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. You weigh the Word with the Word. And so what do we have? Evolution and climate change and all this rhetoric. Everything. Crisis everywhere. We get in little circles, your legislators. You say, well, how can they change so quick? Well, All I have to do is get them with other legislators, get them in a diverse group. There's going to be deviancy. Have them dialogue, because there's no father's authority in dialogue. Their opinion, there's no father's authority in opinion. To a consensus, there's no father's authority in consensus. In fact, the man who set up the climate change scenario, Irvin Laszlo, his a strategy for the future, the systems approach to world order, he's the man who set this up. And he writes, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, bypassing God, bypassing the true scientist, bypassing the Constitution, bypassing any external authority that has the final say. See, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. See, built on lust of the flesh. What do we all have in common? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We all have that in common. Then he says, individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests. Well, who defines those interests? See, that's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Transforming public consensus or feeling of oneness into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. No God, no fear God. Consensus is both a personal and political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. That classroom your child is going through, diverse group, dialogue into consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting, is removing the father. The teacher doesn't have to tell your child to come home and attack your authority. All they have to do is do this process, and your child will come home and attack your authority. Remove the father's authority. Fear of judgment, condemnation, being cast out for their iniquity. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's our culture today. The transgression of the wicked saith what is in his heart. There's a heart as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes. That's self-esteem. Until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. In other words, how can we go further and further into this? He sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. And you say, well, I'm going to take some facts to these people. Listen, if you get rid of the father's authority, your guilty conscience comes from the father's authority. If you negate that authority, you can bring all the facts you want, all the boxes, all the books before them, and they will never, never hear the truth. Supreme Court did this. The liberal courts, you can go in with 600 pages of facts of history, and in their decision, not one bit of it is recognized. Doesn't exist, has no value. See, as a scientist, a true scientist, you go in. I've been in meetings where a man got up. It was on homeschooling in Texas. He got up, did one of the most awesome, should have been videotaped, awesome presentation on good education. And the facilitator goes, thank you for sharing, next. And he was gone. It was like he hadn't said a word. It's all trickery. It's all deceit. And it's all about lust of money, because if you, through covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise. If you all, and Carl Rogers writes about this. All I have to do is find out what you're coveting. See, that's why you die to yourself daily. You get rid of that coveting. You get rid of that lusting. And you pick up your cross, which means you reprove others who are lusting and want you to justify their lusting. No, you're wrong. And they'll put you on a cross. And you follow the Lord, doing the Father's will. Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. I can do nothing of my own self. And he's required the same of us. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. This is all a rejection of the Father's authority. Where is the Father in the home? Can you find a good example of a father in a home? They're out there. But it's not in our culture anymore. And so there's no, if they don't have any guilty conscience, because there's the father is what engenders that guilty conscience. If you go to I feel and I think, there's no guilty conscience. You're God. You don't abhor evil. You are evil. I had a relative, I started sharing Bloom's taxonomy. She's a kindergarten teacher. I think I only got 3 or 4 sentences out. And she goes, you make me feel wicked. You make me feel like I'm doing something wicked. It caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for that honest response. What she's doing is wicked. You don't come between the parents and their children. God created that office to become one. And the father is to train his children up in the admonition of the Lord. Therein is the failure. And anyone who comes between the father and the husband and the wife and the father and his children, as a friend of mine appropriately says, may they be eternally damned, because God set that order up. God did. Not the state, not the government, and not a psychiatrist. May they be eternally damned for taking that child and getting him into dialogue in regards to the father's commands. The father can be wrong, but the child leaves with this, my dad's wrong. Right, wrong thinking. But if they go into the dialogue, there is no right, wrong thinking. Dad's irrelevant. That's heresy. That's why they call it heretical paradigm. And that's where we are today. Lawless. Immanuel Kant called it lawfulness without law. And Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans deals with it. I do that which I don't want to do, and I don't do that which I want to do. There's a law of the flesh, and there's a law of God. And with my mind, I love the law of God. But Kant said lawfulness without law. What does he mean? The law of the flesh without the law of God. If you're in a Bible study, if you're in counseling, and you're going, I feel and I think, God set the right behavior. He told Adam, this is the right behavior. But if you go, I feel and I think, you're God. God's out. You're like, oh, we'll bring God in. No, he's out. You're a liar if you say, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm dialoguing God's word. You're a liar, because in dialogue, you're God. And God's first commandment is, I will have no other gods before me. The world has turned its ears to lies and to fables. And as I shared last time, your child goes in and confronts evolution, confronts climate change, and those are all temporal things. But they understood if you get rid of the father's authority structure in the children. Mark said, it's not, you know, once you realize the earthly father is a secret of the heavenly father, the former must be annihilated in theory and practice. In other words, he didn't believe in God, but he says God comes from somewhere. It's the parents. It's that structure that's in the traditional home. So if we want to get rid of God in culture, we just get rid of the home. And we get rid of it in the children's thoughts and in their actions. Theory and practice. What do you think? How do you feel? There it is in the garden. There it is in the climate change. There it is in the psychology. There it is in sociology and philosophy. The whole Protestant Reformation, if you read Luther's works, was against Aristotle. Create a healthy environment, you create a healthy person. It's a lie. There's no healthy environment, and there's no healthy person. Adam and Eve were in the perfect environment. It's the heart. And only God can change that. You and I can't. So all of this rhetoric, I studied the Soviet Union, the propaganda over and over and over and over. And we looked at that culture and we said, oh, what a sick, what a depraved, what an oppressed people. Hello? And why were the people doing it? Because once you get the parents' credit card, all these people at the top are they're living in their fancy houses and fancy cars and fancy boats and fancy trips and fancy women. They will be desperately wicked if anybody tries to take that credit card away. They will kill the unborn. They will kill the elderly. They will kill the innocent. And they will kill the righteous. Nothing new under the sun. The same reason they put Jesus on the cross, because he threw the money changers, the change on the floor. Don't touch our lusts, or we'll turn and rend you. That's the hate out there from the leadership of the nation. But there's a remnant. God always has a remnant. Those who will not bend their knee to this beast. That's what climate change, that's what all of this propaganda is all about. Getting rid of the issue of sin so man can sin, like Karl Marx said, not feeling at home in a sinful world because there are people out there judging and condemning and casting me out. I set up a sinful world in my own home. I go to dialogue. I get rid of discussion. You bring facts to these people, they can't handle it. Well, that's just your opinion. That's just your opinion. And so it's all about dialogue. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? Your legislator go off to Capitol, have group meetings, come back, you throw facts at them. You can't. A man I knew, he used to say, well, your town, you know, your school board go off to a conference and come back with a lobotomy. You can't talk to them anymore. As they move from discussion, where you or God has a final say, to dialogue. What can I get out of this for me? See, all it's through covetousness. All I have to do is find what your legislator, what you're coveting, offer to help you to achieve it, and I own you. I own you. I own your legislator. He will pass laws in favor of the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, of pride of life. He will not practice the restraints of the Constitution, that external restraint. Same with the judges. So the language of the courts, how do you feel, what do you think, opinion, because psychology has now permeated every facet of our culture, even the medical. And so the drug pushers, out of fear, will make the money and have their fancy houses and fancy cars and fancy boats and fancy trips and fancy women with no conscience. They have no conscience. They're drunk. And they will turn and rend anyone who they fear taking their credit card away. How far are we into debt? It's because we turn to these men for direction. The Bible said, cursed is a man who turns to man, who trusts in man and makes the flesh his arm of strength. Blessed is a man whose hope the Lord is. It's spiritual. It's not temporal. And it's not science. It's so-called science.